Well, it doesn't take long to be here at Pompey Community Church to know that we value families and we believe that children matter to God. We have families from 1 to, I think, 122 is the last count for one family. That's actually not that big. Children are so important to us that we make sure it's a part of our service. And we kids come up and we have kids' time. And I don't know if you guys learn more from children's time than the sermon, but you should be up here sometimes and hear some of the things that you might not be able to hear. I did find a list of some short notes that kids wrote to God. So I want to read a couple of them. It says, "Dear God, I went to this wedding and they kissed in church. Is that okay? Oh, dear God, I think about you sometimes even when I'm not praying. God, thank you for the baby brother, but what I prayed for was a puppy. If you watch in church on Sunday, I'll show you my shoes, God. Well, dear God, if you give me a genie lamp like Aladdin, I'll give you anything you want, except my money or my chess set. Dear God, please send Dennis Clark to a different camp next year." Two more. "Dear God, maybe Cain and Abel would not kill each other so much if they had their own rooms. It works with my brother." And then one last one. "Dear God, please put another holiday between Christmas and Easter. There's nothing good in there now." So at least they're really honest about what they're thinking. We just think those thoughts. But when you think of kids, there's something that's so innocent, so pure, especially when they're babies. When a baby can't do anything for themselves, there's just something that just says it's pure. And I think that's why things like the accident this week makes it so hard to grasp. It makes it so hard to understand. It makes it hard to understand, and it feels just wrong. It feels wrong. I believe it's also because I think it's why a day like today is important. It's a part of our national calendar. It's a day that once a year reminds us of the value and the importance of protecting the life of every living being that we can take a stand for. 42 years ago, President Ronald Reagan issued a presidential proclamation that was on January 16th, designating Sunday, January 22nd, 1984, that was the National Sanctity of Human Life Day. And so he said this was in response to the decision of the Supreme Court back in January 73 with Roe versus Wade, where abortion was made legal. But way before President Reagan ever said that we should protect life, God made it very clear to us in His Word that every human life is sacred. Every life is sacred. And one of those passages, it was up on the little video that we saw, is found in an Old Testament book, the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, it says this: "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." And so God, in this very beginning of the book of Jeremiah, God's telling Jeremiah that He has called him to a work that he was going to be doing, that he was going to be a prophet declaring a punishment to the nation of Judah because of their disobedience to the things that God had told them. "This is the things I want you doing." And of course, they didn't do that. God wanted everyone who's going to read those words to know that it was His word that was about to be recorded. It wasn't Jeremiah's thoughts on or his opinions on what was happening inside the womb. This was God's word, the word of the Lord. Individuals will have lots of different opinions about this whole issue. Organizations are going to offer you their expertise, and politicians are going to differ about the preborn, but this is what God says to us from His Word. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart, and I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." So here's a couple observations out of that verse. The word "before," it's used two different times. And so what that does, it moves us back in time from the point of conception, the point that Jeremiah was conceived, to sometime in eternity past, a decision had been made. The word I is used four times to indicate that God's not only one speaking these words, but He's the one who's at work in the womb. It wasn't just something just happened that God was at work. And the word you is used five different times. It doesn't say it. It says you. What's in the womb is not an it. He's referring to a person. And so if you were a note taker and you want to write some notes down, here's some things that I think are really important for us to grasp and to understand from God's Word. Number one, the preborn are people, just like you and just like me. We see that in the very first part of that verse. I formed you in the womb. So before Jeremiah was ever conceived, God knew all about him, knew him as a person. And that word formed is in the Hebrew, it's a word to describe the creative work of a molder, as a potter, as he molds clay into a predetermined shape. So in the molder's mind, in the potter's mind, he knows exactly what he's going to make. I'm going to make a bowl, I'm going to make a cup, I'm going to make all these different things. And it's also the same word that we find in Genesis 2, chapter 7, or Genesis 2, verse 7, where we read this, that the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground. How did he form him? Into his what? His image. The only one of all of creation formed in the image of God was human beings. None of the animals, nothing else. And just as God purposely formed Adam from the dust of the earth, he does his creative work in the womb of a woman. Psalm 139, the psalmist writes in verse 15 and 16, he says, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. Now, the secret place is the womb. We can't see what's going on except with technology today. Nothing is hidden from God. And so it really, what he's saying is he personally puts our skeleton in place, creates all the delicate parts of our bodies, and he weaves them together. Now, we were with Joe and Michaela this Friday. We spent the night. Becca had a play that she was playing in the orchestra pit. And Michaela had a magazine that had a picture of, if you didn't know, I'm going to be a grandpa, also the CEOs. I will always share the CEOs to share my glory with them. I'll always do that, I promise. You can stand up if I don't, okay? But they had a magazine that showed us exactly where that little baby was in development. And I think it's got a full head. I mean, it's kind of large on the head here, but that's okay. It is an amazing thing to think what's going on. And Joe said in the very beginning, everything that's needed, like the brain and all those things, are all just being knit together right now. And then the body starts growing rapidly in size as all that stuff is put in place. God's forming a person. You see those pictures of a baby sucking a thumb. Man, isn't that awesome? It's just crazy. The preborn are people. Also this, though, number two, the preborn are pre-known. They're pre-known. In the next phrase of that verse in Jeremiah, it says, I knew you. How do you know somebody unless they're really a person? You can't say that. And the word know in Hebrew speaks of a personal, intimate knowledge. It's the same word that Adam used when he said that he knew Eve. And the idea is that God has this close, personal commitment and intimate relationship with the person that He creates, even before they're created. Now, that doesn't mean we're up in heaven in our bodies, or you know, a soul floating all around, just coming down, waiting to come into a body. There's a lot of other people who say that. But God knows us before we're even formed in the womb, before He even began His creative work. So how much more are we a person after conception? Number three, the preborn are prized. The preborn are prized. So check out the next clause here. He says, I set you apart. And when you, this verb that's used for setting something apart, said it's being put apart, not just to push to the side, but for a very special, specific task. And we see the same thing with the Apostle Paul when he was called. Galatians 1:15 says, God who set me apart from birth. Paul knew that God had even placed him into a very special place way before he was even born. And that tells us how valuable life is even in the womb. Now, Chuck Colson, some of you might remember who he was. He was part of President Nixon's team when there was just a couple issues at the hotel there, Watergate. Chuck got caught into that whole thing. Chuck became a Christian and had quite a ministry to those who were in jail, but also just a prolific writer and somebody who stood up for life and for faith. And he reminds us in this one of his writings that the world is watching the church and what we do in regards to human dignity. And this is what he wrote. He said, "So in these troubled times, I believe the church's greatest calling is to uphold human life and dignity. Because as we do, we ultimately point all those who are made in God's image back to Him who created them and loves them beyond all comprehension." We have been set apart for a purpose. And that's really the next one. The preborn have a purpose. The very last part of verse 5, Jeremiah says, it was recorded there, "I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." He had a very specific task. Even before being knit together in the womb, his task was to be a prophet. And it was to be for everyone. And a prophet's primary purpose is to announce God's message, to expose the things that they were doing wrong, the things that needed to be corrected. And I believe we have the same responsibility when it comes to speaking up for life. Psalm 139, verse 16, David recounts the fact that God created him with a purpose. He said, "All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Isn't that crazy? All the things that God hadn't planned for him was written. Now, we look at that and we go, sometimes it seems like some have a very short place on this earth. And somehow we have to say, well, God, there must be a reason. And I don't know if that helps us at times or it makes it harder, but He knows exactly. Nothing has surprised God in any of this. When God creates, He does so with a purpose. And I like this little line, "What we are is God's gift to us, and what we do is our gift to Him." What we do with a life. For many, this topic of abortion is very uncomfortable. It's one of those things that we tend to avoid talking about because there's lots of different opinions and conflicts. It's controversial, way too controversial for some. Some say it's just a political issue that shouldn't even be talked about in the church. I personally believe it's a moral issue that all people who think that human life is important should be addressing. And the responsibility that we have is to speak for those who can't speak. One of our major tasks for our daughter, Melody, when she was alive, Melody had no voice. Melody couldn't speak. We were her voice. And if we didn't speak for her, no one else was going to do that. Listen what the writer of Proverbs said in Proverbs 31, verses 8 and 9. It says, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. For the rights of all who are destitute, speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy." Now that's us. We're the ones who can do that. See, Jeremiah was given a job, and his job was specific. Go speak to the nation of Judah. Tell them judgment's coming. You're going to be kicked out of the country. You're going to be taken away into captivity. And it's not going to be good because of disobedience. God has given each one of us a message to share. If you're a follower of Christ, the message that we've been given is the good news that God loves us. That God has so much more of a plan than just making it through the day and not having purpose. That He came to set us free from our sin, to forgive us, so that we could have eternal life. And many of us say, "Oh boy, I can't do that. I'm afraid. I don't want to offend anybody. And I don't think we should ever offend somebody." But we have way too many excuses. Jeremiah tried to get out of it too when God told him, "This is what your task is." He said in verse 6, "Alas, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I'm too young." What excuse would you use? Some of you aren't too young. I'm not going to look at you, so you can't use that one. A lot of you speak really well and a lot, so I know that's not your issue. But what is it that keeps us from sharing the greatest news in the world with people who just don't know yet how much God loves them? God didn't buy Jeremiah's explanation. He told him in verse 7, "You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you." Then the Lord reached out His hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "Now," this is Jeremiah, "now I've put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. So Jeremiah, here's what your job is. Go to everyone that God sends you to. That's our responsibility too. I want us. God wants us to go out to whoever it is that He'll send us to with the good news of life. And speak whatever God wants you to say. I don't know what to say. Well, God will give it to you. That's what Scripture tells us. He says, Jeremiah, and you're going and speaking. Don't be afraid because God is with you. If I ask for a show of hands, how many of us are afraid to talk about our salvation or talk about how much Jesus loves him or to talk about the value of life? It gets scary. What would they think of me? We can do it respectfully. We can do it with love. We can do it without judging. And then sometimes the message will cause people to be uncomfortable. We don't need to make them uncomfortable, though. So what can we do? What can we do when we know that the preborn are so important? I can't tell you specifically what you should do, or some of you might even have different thoughts, but I would urge you to listen to what God has to say to you, that the Holy Spirit would nudge you toward. I don't think we can just sit back and do nothing. Proverbs 24:11 kind of lays out some pretty strong words for us. Rescue those being led away to death. Hold back those staggering toward slaughter. Moses also wrote in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. Let me give some suggestions, some thoughts. Number one, offer grace and forgiveness to those who need it. Many times we will make something like abortion or someone else's sin the worst sin of all sins. But guess what? It is a sin of one that is as forgivable as any other sin. And while we need to speak out against some of these issues in our society, I think we also need to offer love and compassion to those who need help. We need to understand that the majority of people who have experienced this deal with lots of different things afterwards. Study after study shows many people dealing with guilt, both men and women. And I believe this is a place that we as a church should be offering grace. There might be people here this morning who have experienced and have had an abortion. If that's you, this message could be hard to hear. But it's my prayer that you would experience God's redeeming grace, that you would know that He loves you, and that you would know that as anyone, if we confess our sins, it says He is faithful and just to forgive us. And if that seems inconceivable to you, I would love to sit down and talk with you. I'd love to sit down and just chat with you. I think number two, we also need to watch our attitudes because Satan, the devil, the evil one, is the true enemy of our lives. It's not doctors. It's not people who are in favor of abortions. It's not politicians. It's way too easy for us to become very self-righteous and condemning. It's very easy for us to get angry with people who sin differently than we do. And we're often more caustic than Christians in our dealing with people, which is really sad. So instead of building bridges to people that we want to show that God loves them, our love pushes them away. And we end up isolating people from the gospel instead of letting them see that God truly loves them. I think number three, I think we need to have a balance between the prophetic role that we've been given to proclaim the news with our priestly role, which is one of love and care. I think views are changing little by little, slowly, about abortion, but it's going to take time for people to understand that life truly is very, very at the very beginning. If you think back to William Wilberforce, he campaigned for 35 years to end slavery in Britain, and he never stopped. He didn't know if it was ever going to work, and I think we need to continue to speak out like prophets, but we also need to offer love and compassion to those who need help and to be there for them. I think we need to remember that our primary biblical call is to make disciples, not win arguments. What good does it do if we win an argument? But we don't let someone know how much Jesus loves them. and then allow Him to change their heart. Number four, just a couple more. I think we need to be informed and we need to pray for the preborn. Stephanie, would you come up? Where's Stephanie? There she is. We have a microphone, blue microphone. I've asked Stephanie to come up and share with us a few minutes about the organization that she works for, which is New Hope Family Services. If you're here during Christmas, we have the bottle drive, and we collect coins, and that goes to her the ministry that she's part of. And so she's going to share a little bit about them and also some ways that you could even be engaged to help them out. High tech, I like that. I need to get my iPad up here.
I figured I would just bring this up because I'll forget something that we do that I want to share. So as Wendell said, we really at New Hope just want to be the hands and feet of Christ. We have a pregnancy care program that offers self-administered pregnancy tests for women. We offer counseling and education. We offer parenting help if they choose to parent in practical ways. We have a care corner that you can donate items to, babies, diapers, formula, clothes, cribs, pretty much anything, minus car seats. You can drop off at New Hope at any time, and we welcome those donations. We see over 900 clients a year that come in to receive those. So we try to offer that support in practical ways. We have adoption planning services at New Hope, and we work throughout New York State to birth parents who might not be ready to parent, and it offers a loving alternative for their children to be placed for adoption. We have post-abortion counseling and education, and we try to do it in a really private way so that it's comfortable for people who have had an abortion. So we offer that. If you call or you want to speak to me, I can put you in touch with somebody. And we offer counseling, too, for people who have experienced the pain of miscarriages and infertility. Often our families who want to adopt are families who suffer with pain of infertility. So that's some of what we do. And if you want to get involved, like I said, donations are great. Money. You can donate money. We always welcome that. Your prayers are huge. We see God work. The power of prayer is huge, and we just see Him do amazing things and knit families together. So, you know, just feel free to see me. I'll be somewhere after the church service and out there, and you can touch base with me if you want to.
Where's your office?
Well, we have our main office is on James Street, which is in the Sacred Melody Plaza. I think it's Parable Bookstore now. And we also have a satellite office on the corner of Walnut and West Genesee Street, ironically, right next to Planned Parenthood. That's where we do our free ultrasounds, and we also do free pregnancy tests there as well. So,
awesome. Yeah. Well, before you go, One of the things we said we can pray, I'm going to ask us to do that right now.
Great. Okay. Thanks.
Father, thank you for New Hope Family Services. For the ministry that they have, the love, the care, and the compassion they show to people who come to them. And God, we thank you for organizations like theirs that make a difference. Father, I pray that you would remind each of us to pray for them, to pray for those who are working to protect life. And God, you would just help anyone who might need to talk to them to be able to feel free enough to do that. Help us to be more diligent in our prayers. We thank you, and in your name we pray. Amen. All right, thanks, Stephanie. One last thing, and then we'll close here. I think we can be consistently, and this is one of those words that cause people to get maybe, they don't understand, but we need to pro-life, which is so much more than just being the preborn. We need to value all human life, orphans, widows, physically and emotionally challenged, homeless, those who are suffering with AIDS, the hungry, the poor, those in prison, older people who have no loved ones or support. Our society devalues so many of these people. Every single one of them made in God's image. And we need to do everything we can to protect and to let them know that God loves them. And so as you go from here, if any of you go, wow, I need to talk more about this, I would love to be able to chat with you. We can all just pray, and I would ask that you remember how much God loves us and loves all life. So would you bow your heads as I close us? Lord, we are grateful for this day we can come in this room and be together, to experience your presence, to sing these songs and be reminded that, Lord, particularly the last one, that you know our name, you know every tear that falls, that you're there for us, and that you valued us enough and you knew us and you formed us and knit us together in the womb of our mother, and Lord, you had plans and purpose for us. And I just thank you. I thank you that we are made in your image. And my desire, Lord, is to be able to reflect you the best way I possibly can, and that everyone, Lord, who knows you would be able to do that as well. And Lord, if there's those who have just struggled with trying to understand what that all means about, or struggled with who you are and that you really could love them, God, that you would help them even today just to say, God, I don't get this. I don't understand it, but I want to. That you'd help, just help them take a step towards you. And I just thank you, God. Father, again, we lift you, the Lefevers. Pray for your grace, your mercy, your peace. And just pray, Lord, they know that we love them and that you love them. We ask it in your name, Jesus, and the whole church said together, amen. Well, God bless you, everybody. Thank you for being here, and have a great day.